Scripture reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. John 15, 1 through 6. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he trims and cleans every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If any remain in me, and I remain in them, they produce much fruit. But without me, they can do nothing. If any do not remain in me, they are like a branch that is thrown away and then dies. People pick up dead branches, throw them into the fire, and burn them. Please be seated.
It is an exciting time of year. This thing is going to fall off me at some point. And that's fine. Because I learned from Gary, I can just tag somebody else in. So if this falls off, I'm just going to point at somebody. You can come finish for me. It's a time of year where many of us are celebrating certain traditions within our family. And I have learned over the years that there are good traditions and then there are bad traditions. This week in particular, I find the tradition of giving gifts to be a good tradition, unless that gift is fruitcake. I find that to be a bad tradition. Maybe even in your own family, you have some traditions that you think of as very good traditions. I don't know why, but for as long as I can remember, on Christmas Eve, my mom made green chili. Not a traditional Christmas food, but man, I'm glad it's our tradition because it's good. My brothers and I also had a tradition where we would turn our sleeping bags upside down and put them on and have a giant wrestling match in the basement. Probably not a great tradition. There are good traditions and there are bad traditions. And I think it's interesting that tomorrow many are going to celebrate a holiday in which we kind of focus on the good traditions. And then a week from tomorrow, we're going to think about all the bad traditions in our life that we want to change, because isn't that what a habit is? A bad habit is really just a tradition. It's just a tradition that we don't want to keep, and yet we do keep it. And this morning, I want us to talk a little bit about traditions. Not traditions in the sense as of what you have for dinner during the holidays, or what weird things you and your brothers do in the basement with your sleeping bags that you do each and every year, but what things that are a part of our life that as we maybe move into the new year, we wish weren't there. For some of us, we already have things in our mind that as we go into New Year, we want to change. Some of those things may be physical things. Some of those things may be wanting to spend more time with family or less time at the office. But this morning, I want to focus a little bit on those things that are of a spiritual nature. Because if you are like me, there are things in your life that you wish weren't traditions, but have become traditions. Each and every day, they tend to be the same traditions that I practice day after day after day. And I want to change those things. But if you're like me, changing traditions is not an easy thing. When Carrie and I were married, one of the things, obviously there's a lot to look forward to when it comes to marriage, but one of the things I was nervous about is I tend to be kind of stubborn, especially when it comes to family traditions. And I started thinking about, well, I'm going to go spend the holidays with Carrie's family and I don't do things the way that we do them. I learned that's a good thing in some ways. Doing things differently than my family is not always a bad thing. But changing those traditions, it's hard at first because those are things that we're used to doing, even if they're things we don't want to do anymore. Paul talks about the fact that there are things in his life that he wished he could change, but it just didn't seem to go away. And those are the things that I want to talk about this morning. And I want us to focus on that passage in John chapter 15 that was just read for us. And I'm just going to reread it for us. And as we listen to this, I want us to think about the idea of bearing fruit. Because for most of us, we want 2018 to be a year in which we are more productive for God. We want to fulfill our purpose. And really, that's what bearing fruit means. Because if you are a branch that's connected to the vine, your job is to do what? It's to bear fruit. That's what you were supposed to do. And if you're not bearing fruit, it means you're not doing your job. And so as a Christian, bearing fruit means being what God wants me to be. Fulfilling my purpose as a Christian. And for some of us, as we look into this next year, some of us are thinking, I need to do a better job of bearing fruit. I need to do a better job of being what God wants me to be. And as we read this passage again, I want you to think of that idea of bearing fruit and what that may mean for your life. Starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I want us to focus on three different things as we begin to look not just at this new year, but hopefully any time in life that we're looking to make changes. I want us to look at three different things from this passage that we need to keep in mind as we strive to change, as we strive to make those changes, and hopefully give us some practical things along the way. I don't have a PowerPoint like Tim usually does, and so you're going to have to listen from when I give you your blanks. You can't do like I do sometimes and go, well, I missed a blank, and look up on the screen because you'll have no... And so we're not doing that tradition this morning. We're changing that tradition. But number one on your outline, the key to change is more of the same. The key to change is more of the same. You see this word appear frequently in this passage, and that is abide or remain, which means that changing, the process of bearing fruit is a process. It takes practice. It's not something that you just pop in real quick, you make the change, and then on your way again. If you want to bear fruit, you have to remain in Christ. You have to do the same things again and again and again. You have to practice. We've probably all heard the saying, practice makes perfect. But I heard someone say that practice doesn't make perfect, practice makes permanent. Practicing the same things over and over and over again, make those things a permanent part of your life. And so let me just tell you right now, if there are things that you are wanting to change in your life so that you can bear fruit, you're going to have to practice those things. You're not going to be able to say, all right, this year I want to be a better Bible student. And then suddenly you're just a great Bible student. You know what you're going to have to do every day? You're going to have to open up your Bible and you're going to have to read it. And you're going to have to practice being a Bible student. And it's going to take practice. It's going to take doing it again and again and again, day after day, before you get it. If you want to have better knowledge of God's Word, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to practice. You're going to make a commitment to be here on Sunday mornings, not just for worship, but for Bible class, because that's an opportunity for you to practice, for you to grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Practice, practice, practice. But not just practicing. You have to practice the right way. I think it was Vince Lombardi who's credited as saying, perfect practice makes perfect. Not just practicing, but you have to do practice the right way. I love the game of golf. And for as much as I love the game of golf, I am awful at golf. You can ask my father-in-law, who has taken me many times, and you know he's a good man because he's taken me golfing many times. And I've thought so many times, you know what, I just need to go out to the driving range and just practice hitting the ball again and again. But you know what the problem with that is? I don't know the right way to swing a golf club. And so if I go out and I practice swinging that golf club even 1,000 times, you know what I've practiced? Practiced swinging the golf club the wrong way. Oh man, there we go. I finally got it. This has become a permanent part. Yeah, that's a bad thing. If you're practicing my golf swing over and over again and it's become permanent, you are never going to be a good golfer, okay? So what do you have to learn? You have to learn the correct way to swing a golf club and then go practice it that way. Same thing, I mean, I could give so many illustrations. If I go over to the gym over here and I'm going to practice free throws, guess what? I can shoot and shoot and shoot all day. I'm probably not going to get that much better. You know why? Because I don't know the correct form to shoot a free throw. Trey, you want to help me out maybe next week? That'd be great. Thank you. I don't get it. So I can shoot and shoot, and I'm not going to get any better. Some of us, we look at our life and we say, I'm practicing these things. But we're practicing them the wrong way. We say, I read the Bible every day. Oh, yeah, how do you do it? Well, I got to squeeze it in real quick. Oh, okay, John 15. I'm the vine and the Father's vine. There, see, I read the Bible today. I just don't know why it's not sticking. Well, because you're practicing it the wrong way. That's not how you should be a student of the Bible. Well, I'm at church every week. I fall asleep in worship, and I'm not really paying attention in Bible class. But I was there. That's practice. Yeah, that's the wrong kind of practice. You're practicing things that aren't good for you. And did you know that a good habit done poorly is just a new bad habit? That's all it is. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible every day this year. Did you get anything out of it? Not one bit. You didn't create a good habit. You just created a new bad habit, which is reading the Bible poorly. So we got to practice the right way. If you want to make change, it's going to take practice. And it's going to take practice day after day after day, which leads us to our next point, and that is change might take a while. Change can take a while. It just does. I think this is what I struggle with most when it comes to New Year's resolutions, is the fact that they take time. It's not something that January 1st I can just go, this year I'm going to be a better Bible student, and check, I did that. I don't even have to worry about that the rest of the year. No, it's something that you have to stick with. Again, it's that idea of abiding. Look at what it says here in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I get that. If you're not doing your job, snip, you're gone. But listen to this next part. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? He prunes it? So if you're doing your job, if you're not doing your job, snip, you're gone. But guess what? If you're doing your job, snip. Maybe not the same snip as those, but God's still pruning us. I don't like that. I want it to say, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he leaves them alone. Because I'm doing my job. Leave me alone, God. I don't want to change anymore. You know what that says? That there is no spiritual plateau. That you just, I've arrived this year. I finally did it. I am finally the spiritual person that God wants me to be. No, guess what now he's going to do? He's going to prune you so that you can bear more fruit. He wants you to keep changing, meaning it takes time. It's a process. He's going to stick at it. And no matter how good you are this year, guess what you could do next year? Get better. Again, I don't like that. I like to think of spirituality as this point that I can reach and I can finally say, oh, there, I did that. Now I don't have to worry about being a good Christian anymore because I finally reached it. No, he's going to keep pruning you. He's going to keep snipping off those parts that don't need to be there. But that takes time. It takes time, and most of us don't like to spend time changing. That's why most of us that set New Year's resolutions are going to struggle to make it through January, because it takes time. I have struggled for years. In fact, as long as I can remember, I wanted to be able to read the Bible through in a year. I just thought, like, 3 chapters a day. And many of you are great about this, probably. I don't know why, but I realized it's not the task is so great. How am I going to read 3 chapters today? But it's the time it takes. It's for an entire year I'm going to do this. And I struggled with it. And it wasn't until I was able to read through it with somebody else that I was able to do it. It takes time. Change takes time. If any of you are hoping to just wake up tomorrow morning and be the person that you have always wanted to be, doesn't work that way. You want to be a better Bible student? Guess what? It's going to take a lot of time. You want to be a better giver? It's going to take time. If you want to be a better servant, it's going to take time. And if you're not willing to devote that time, the change is not going to happen. So as you head into the new year, if you're expecting to make that change by, you know, January 5th, January 6th, it's not going to happen. It takes us time to make those changes. In fact, think of some of the people in Scripture who made great changes in their life. And it's hard to think about change without thinking of Paul. And Paul made a drastic change in life, but it didn't happen overnight. Sometimes I think we think back to the story of Paul on the road to Damascus, and he sees this great light, and boom, I'm a different person. Galatians 1 tells us that Paul went and he left for years before he comes back and finally meets up with Peter and the other apostles. You know why? Change doesn't happen overnight. Even when God intervenes in his life, it still takes time for him to become the person that he needed to be. And if that's true for Paul, the same is going to be true for you as well. Some spiritual things in our life, you're going to work at day after day after day, maybe for the rest of your life. It takes time, but it's important. Here's some things, some practical things for us to remember. How can you be sure that you stick with it? Number one, on your outline, don't go it alone. Don't do it by yourself. If you have a hard time sticking with making changes because it takes too long, don't do it by yourself. I already mentioned the idea of reading through the Bible in a year. It took a long time. Last year, I had a buddy who said, I struggle with the same thing, so I've decided this year, because I'm having a hard time with the length, I'm going to try to read through my Bible in just January. And I told him, that sounds terrible, because I'm having a hard enough time reading 3 chapters a day. How am I going to read 40 chapters a day? And he said, I don't know. I just felt like if I could condense the time, it would be easier for me. And I said, I will try it with you, but I just want you to know, I just don't know that I can do it. We did it. Let me tell you, I did not do a whole lot else in the evenings. My second child had not been born yet, and so I don't know that I could do it now. But you know why I was able to make it through? Was not because I had this great willpower to do it. It's because every single day, my pesky friend would text me, did you do your reading yet? No, not yet. I read a couple chapters. Okay, an hour later. Did you do your reading yet? I'm like, no, not yet. Okay, just checking in on you. A couple hours later. Did you do your reading yet? All right, I'll do my reading. I read a little bit. Did you do your reading yet? If I went back through my phone, our text conversation, I mean, did you do your reading yet? Did you do your reading yet? That's the number one thing he said to me for a month. But you know why he was doing that and why I was texting him the same thing? Because it's hard to dedicate that amount of time when you're just doing it on your own. But if you've got somebody else, it's a lot easier. You want to be a better student of the Bible this year? Get somebody else that's going to do the same with you and is going to challenge you in that way. You want to be better about being in Bible class every week? You pick somebody in your class and you tell them, hey, when I'm not here, I want you to text me. I want you to text me and say, hey, just checking in on you. Put some accountability on yourself. Don't do it alone because it's too tough. Number two, make a plan. I think some of us just think that we're going to go into the new year and say, I'm going to bear fruit this year. Expected to like feel something and I change and then you got to make a plan. If you want to lose weight, you know what you have to do? You have to make a plan. It doesn't just happen. If you want to be better about exercising, you know what you have to do? You have to make a plan for that. The same thing is true with our spiritual life, but for some reason we just think that it just happens. You want to be a better Bible reader? Pick up one of those Bible reading plans out there in the foyer and make a plan. This is going to be what I read every day through the rest of this year. You know, part of the reason that we do Purpose Sunday, where we dedicate how much, because I'm making a plan, because I want to know what I'm expecting of myself. So if there are changes that you're wanting to make in your life, sit down and write out, this is how I want to visualize those changes happening in my new year. Not just the vague, I want to be a better Bible student. Now, I want to be a better servant. Here are some things that I want to do in the new year so that I can look back and say, yep, I was bearing fruit this year. And then be prepared for God to prune you so that you can bear more fruit in the new year. But make a plan. And then finally, rely on the vine. Pray. I mean, if Jesus is the vine and we're supposed to remain in him, we're supposed to abide in him, then he should be our source. And so when you're struggling to make those changes, or when you've been doing really well for a long time and then you have one of those really bad days where it just seems that the floor falls out from underneath you and you just can't make those changes, go to God, ask for forgiveness, and try again. But you got to rely on the vine. If you think you're going to do it on your own, you can't. You need the source. And that's our third and final point for changing traditions is success is only as sustainable as its source. If the reason for change in your life is not rooted in Jesus Christ, You're not going to be successful. Now, you may be successful for a little while. Have you ever heard of a one-hit wonder? You know, a group that comes out with, you know, a popular song. I found my sixth grade yearbook, and it said, you're supposed to list some of your favorite things. And under, this is embarrassing, under my page, it said, favorite band, Chumbawamba. Now, some of you are like, I don't know what that is. I probably didn't know who that was. But they came out with one song back in the 90s that was popular. Oh, Chumbawamba. I mean, I couldn't tell you another song that they sing. But guess what? They were the best thing for a while. They're successful and then just fall off the face of the earth. Some of you may be diehard Chumbawamba fans and can sing all their songs. I apologize if I've offended you this morning. But I doubt it. But that's what a one-hit wonder is. And some of us, that's how we start our new year. Boom, we come out of the gates and we're so successful. Look at me. I'm like Chumbawamba. Everybody loves me. And then February rolls around and it's gone. I think it was Fred Rhodes who said when it comes to daily Bible reading, we get people across the Red Sea, but we can never get them to the Promised Land. That's me. Yeah, I can make it that far, but then it's like somewhere along the way, I just fall off. We have success for a while, and often the reason for that is because our source is not the source that it should be. We're not rooted in Christ. We're not making these changes because it's what Christ wants. Or we're not doing these things and relying on Him for strength. We're making these changes because maybe because somebody around us wants us to make this change. Or I've got to put on a certain image for those that see me. Or, hey, I got this. I got the strength. I can handle this on my own. I don't need that. You know what this passage says time and time and time again? Verse 5, I am the vine, that's Jesus. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So let me just tell you, if you're planning on making changes in your life and Jesus is not going to be a part of it, you're not going to be able to do it. That's what that verse says. If you are wanting to be a better bearer of fruit, if you're wanting to be a better Christian and you're trying to leave Jesus out of the equation, it's not going to happen. It can't, because it's only those who remain in him who are successful. Oh, sure, you may be successful for a while. You may seem to be doing it right, but eventually you're going to fall off. So what does it mean? How do we stay connected to Jesus? Because I can say abide in him, and it sounds really good. But in a practical sense, what does that mean? Well, number one, spend time in prayer. If you think that you're going to make changes in your life and you're not going to spend every day in prayer asking God for the strength to make those changes, it's going to be tough. Now, I guess the struggle with that is for some of us, the change that we need to make is we need to spend more time in prayer. I don't know how you spend more time in prayer asking God to give you strength and spend more time in prayer, but you're just going to have to do it. But we need to ask God for help. We need to ask God for strength. Some of the changes that we need to make in our life are really big changes. And we need to go to him and say, God, please give me the strength that I need to make these changes. But secondly, spend time in God's word. Now again, I get it. That's the habit some of us are trying to do better about. But this is the way that God speaks to us. This is the way we learn more about his son. And so you can't be connected to the vine if you're not willing to spend time in his word. And so if you've got some pretty significant changes that you're trying to make in your spiritual life, better be in this word. Spending time in God's word, understanding what it means to make those changes. And finally, spend time with his people. This is a great place for people who are wanting to make changes. Because if we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us has things that we need to change. So what this passage says, yes, some of us are not bearing fruit at all. And snip. But some of us, guess what? We are bearing fruit. We're living our lives the way, but there are still some things that need to be pruned. And it is a great way for us to encourage each other than to just be with each other. To be in Bible class, to be in worship, to spend time with one another, because that's a way for us to be connected to the vine, is to be with his people. And so if you want to be successful in the new year, Jesus better be a part of your plan. Because if he's not, your success isn't going to last. I don't know what changes you're looking to make in the new year. you may not have thought of it yet. This is the great thing about doing this sermon this week instead of next week, because you got a whole week to think about it before the new year rolls around to write down your new year resolutions. But here's the other good thing is you don't have to wait till the start of a new year. Every single day we are given opportunities to make the changes that we need. And some of us may be that branch that's not bearing fruit. We've just stopped producing. We've just stopped being the people that God wants us to be. And what better day to make a change than today? That's the best time to make a change is today. And to say, I'm going to start bearing fruit. I'm going to start doing a better job because I don't want to be removed from the vine. I want to bear fruit. And some of you are doing a great job in your Christian life, but there are still some things that God wants to prune away, and allow him to do that. And pick some of those things that you're trying to change and focus on those as we go into the new year. Some of you, on the other hand, may be wondering why you're not bearing fruit, and the reason is because you've never connected yourself to the vine. We already read about the fact that it's only those that are connected to the vine that can bear fruit. And some of us may never have made that decision to connect ourselves to the vine and say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of that. I want to bear fruit. And the Bible tells us pretty clearly that the way that we do that is we believe in Jesus and we're baptized into him. And that's how we become a branch connected to that vine so that we can bear fruit. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what changes need to be made. But if there is a way that we can help you as we head into that new year, I'd invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.